A friend of mine had told me that he had started the carnivore diet. I was like, you're insane. Like, you're only eating meat? Like, what are you talking about? This is crazy. But he did a podcast interview with Paul Saladino. And long story short, I listened to the whole episode and it was like mind-blowing to me at the time. I was like borderline vegan. Why do I feel absolutely amazing when I'm eating these foods and I feel like crap when I eat an Impossible Burger? I did a 72-hour fast and then I was carnivore for like 2 months. Every single negative symptom I had, the pain that I was having on a daily basis, the running to the bathroom, not being able to control it, within a week, all disappeared.
I'm really glad you figured it out at such a young age. Like, some women don't figure it out until they're like ready to start having kids.
People think that the craving is like your brain, but it's actually your gut. To have this, what can be a really debilitating disorder, and to make it almost non-existent just based off the foods I'm eating is absolutely insane.
I had no idea that the only time you could get pregnant was 6 days out of the month.
Your body was designed to have pain-free regular cycles. Your body was designed to get pregnant and birth babies. Your body was designed to do all these things, and it knows how to do it, and it will do those things as long as you
Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and we don't care who it bothers. My name is Kate.
And I'm Jordan.
And today we're talking with Kyla, better known as Cycles with Kyla on Instagram. She's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to hormone health, cycle tracking, and holistic wellness. But what's really fascinating, she grew up unvaccinated, was diagnosed with IBS as a kid, and spent years unknowingly wrecking her gut health until she took matters into her own hands. Now she's helping thousands of women take control of their cycles without hormonal birth control. In this conversation, we get into, is birth control actually wrecking your gut health, and why is no one talking about it? The real reason most women have no idea how their cycles actually work and what we were never taught in school. The insane food mistake that kept Kyla sick for years until she cut it out overnight. Why she went from clean eating to controversial carnivore diet and how it completely changed her health. The truth about getting off birth control, what happens to your body, and how it actually heals your hormones. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's. Okay, you have a similar beginning to many of us in the crunchy space. Tell us about what catapulted you into going off birth control and fixing your health.
Yeah, so my cycle journey, it's funny because I never started my health journey on like a hormone health journey. I didn't actually know that I had any issues with my hormone health, even though I hadn't gotten a period in, you know, 6 years, like I was on hormonal birth control, like all of that. I did not actually know I had a hormone health issue. My health journey started because I was having a lot of gut issues. And I had, you know, the quote unquote IBS diagnosis since I was maybe 10 years old. I always had horrible gut pain. Like, I couldn't digest most foods. I would have gas and bloating, and it was always so painful from the time I was really young. And every single time my parents would take me to a doctor, you know, it's the typical answer, you have IBS, you should just avoid these foods, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, that's just how it is. And, you know, that's really frustrating as a child to be told that you have, you know, you're experiencing pain and all of these issues, and there's just nothing you can do about it. And so I grew up kind of just with that assumption in my head of like, this is a thing that is wrong with me and I don't have any control over it. And so it never crossed my mind that food had anything to do with it. It never crossed my mind that if I ate certain foods or didn't eat other foods, that that would affect how good my gut was feeling. I didn't know what the word gut health even meant. But my whole teenage years, early 20s, I was also very quote unquote health conscious. I was very much in the like gym bro mindset, very clean eating. I was like borderline vegan for a while, you know, eating the vegan protein powders and putting raw cabbage in my smoothie and like all the typical health things that I think we all start out as, thinking we're the healthiest person in the world. And what's so funny is like in those years was when I was struggling. So especially in my early 20s, I was struggling so, so much with gut issues. I got to the point where I would have to call out of work. I would have to skip classes. I was still in college at the time because I would get this excruciating gut pain that would come out of absolutely nowhere. It would happen around like 1 or 2 p.m. every day. I would get this pain. It would like double me over. I would be on the floor sobbing and couldn't move for maybe an hour. And then the pain would go away and then I'd go about my day. And this was, eventually it was happening once a month and then it was happening once a week. And then it started happening every single day to the point where, like I said, I couldn't go to work. I couldn't go to classes. Like it was completely debilitating. And at that time, I started, I have to start going to doctors and figure out what's going on. And I went to the gastroenterologist and this doctor and that doctor, all of them to do all kinds of ultrasounds and testing and this and that, to then tell me, we don't know what's wrong with you. Here is a pill that you can take to relax the muscles in your gut so you stop having this pain. Like, sorry, there's nothing else we can do for you. And me being 21 years old at the time, having no idea what's going on, being absolutely terrified. I can't digest food properly. I would also have this thing that would happen to me where I would drive to work really early in the morning because I would usually start work at like 5 a.m. And before I would leave for work, I would make the same smoothie every morning. That would be almond milk and raw spinach and raw cabbage and vegan protein powder and frozen berries and like the whole nine. And coincidentally, every single morning on my way to work, I would have like a 35-ish minute commute. I would have to desperately pull over the car halfway to work almost every single day at a gas station to run into the bathroom, like could not control my bowel movements. And so I was having that problem and I was having the pain every day, like all these things. And the doctors were telling me, there's literally nothing you can do. You just have, like, this is just how it is. And so obviously I was really frustrated with that and really terrified and just felt very hopeless. And so around that time, a friend of mine had told me that he had started a carnivore diet. And I remember when he told me this, I was like, am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay. I was like, you're fucking insane. Like, you're only eating meat. Like, what are you talking about? This is crazy. And a few weeks go by and, he's telling me about it and how great he feels and blah, blah. And I'm like, you're effing insane. Like, this is insane. And I was scrolling through my podcast app one day, and this podcast comes up. I don't know if you guys know who J.P. Sears is, but he did a podcast interview with Paul Saladino, like before Paul Saladino was who he is today. No one knew who he was yet. And he like interviewed this random guy about the carnivore diet. And I was like, okay, let me just listen to this and hear what he has to say. And long story short, I listened to the whole episode and it was like mind-blowing to me. I was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. Because again, at the time, I was like borderline vegan. Like I was eating all the raw vegetables, all the grains, like afraid of red meat, just all the things. And so I was like, wow, this makes a lot of sense. Like maybe I should try this. And so I started the carnivore diet kind of loosely, like not fully. I was doing a ton of bone broth and lots of meat, and I cut out most vegetables and all the things. And I also, for the first time in my life, I fasted. And I know there's like a lot of controversy around women and fasting, and it's very nuanced, but I did a 72-hour fast and then I was carnivore for like 2 months. And every single negative symptom I had, the pain that I was having on daily basis, the running to the bathroom, not being able to control it, within a week, all disappeared. It was utterly insane. And so I was like, okay, like I am onto something. Like this is, I'm really getting somewhere with this. And so that started the whole journey of like trying to, figure out what's going on with my gut. And eventually I saw a functional medicine doctor. And long story short, he attributed my gut issues to the fact that I was on hormonal birth control, because I had gone on hormonal birth control at 16 years old. I was put on the Nexplanon implant that they put in your arm. And I just went on it because that's what girls do. Like all my friends were on birth control. Like who doesn't go on birth control? That's crazy. And So he was the first person that was like, you know, all these gut issues that you're having, birth control has a significant impact on your gut health. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. So I originally went off birth control for my gut. I was like, okay, I'm going off. And at the time, it was also terrifying. So I was like, well, I don't want to get pregnant, but I know this thing is harming me, but I don't know any other way. And so that sent me down the spiral of learning about the fertility awareness method. And then, oh my gosh, there's this whole like world inside of my cycle that I didn't know existed. Up until that moment, I genuinely thought that you got a period and then a few weeks of nothing went by and then you got another period. And that was just it. I didn't know what the word ovulation meant. I didn't know what progesterone was. I didn't know anything about my hormones or my cycle. I didn't know that the fact that I hadn't gotten a period in over 3 years was like a sign of not being very healthy. And so that sent me into this whole world of learning about these things that I couldn't believe no one had ever taught me. And long story short, Cycle with Kyla was born. I've been off hormonal birth control now for almost 3 years. And now I teach women about how their cycle works and how they can, you know, prevent pregnancy off of birth control and all of the things that I wish someone told me at 16.
Or, you know, they taught us in probably fifth grade, but like, how are we supposed to remember that?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a pretty wild how everything's connected. And I'm really glad you figured it out at such a young age. Like, some women don't figure it out until they're like ready to start having kids. And like, then they have to wait years and years to like heal from, you know, tens of years on birth control.
Totally. It's, yeah, such a wild thing that we're never taught. And when you learn it, it's like it puts all the pieces together. Like, suddenly everything makes sense. And you realize that you're not crazy and you have control over all these different facets of your health. Like, you're not destined to have period pain forever and all irregular cycles and PCOS and all these things. Like, you have so much control over it and no one ever tells you.
So a lot of things obviously surprised you when you were started learning about your cycle, but what surprised you the most? And can you just explain to everybody like how our cycles work? I don't think a lot of us understand.
Totally. Yeah. So do you want me to give like the quick like 2 minute overview, or do you want me to give the long story?
We've got time.
Yeah, we've got time. Yeah.
Perfect. I think what surprised me the most and what is such an empowering thing for women is your period is not the main event of your cycle. So a lot of women, you know, you think you have this weeks of nothing that go by and then you get a period and then a bunch of nothing again. And so you believe that when you get your period and when you get period pain and all these things, it's something that you're having to treat in that moment. Like, you are having a painful period because something is going wrong in that moment. But when you realize that ovulation is the main event of your cycle, which we'll go into in a second, but you know, there's all of these things that happen leading up to your period, and the health of ovulation, the health of your hormone levels in the weeks leading up to your period, all of these things are actually what determine if you're going to have a super awesome period or a sucky, painful period. And that was the craziest thing to me. Oh, also the realization that you can only get pregnant 5 days out of your cycle. Well, I mean, come on. How do they not teach us that in high school? It's insane. So that was very, very eye-opening for me. But just for any women that don't know, or men who don't know how their women's cycle works. So you have, they say you have four phases to your cycle. I like to think of it as three phases because I think it confuses people when you talk about ovulation as a phase. But essentially, day one of your period is day one of your cycle. I like to, since our cycle is really this like domino effect where ovulation is the first domino that pushes the rest of them over, I like to consider the first day of our follicular phase as really the first day of our cycle. So essentially, when your period ends, you enter what is called your follicular phase. And this is when estrogen is the dominant hormone. During this entire phase, your body is simply just preparing for ovulation, which we will talk about what that is in a second. So estrogen is rising, you're starting to build up the blood on your uterine wall, and your body is getting you ready for ovulation to occur. This phase typically lasts maybe 10-ish days. And on the last day of your follicular phase, you ovulate. And so what this means is your ovary releases an egg, comes up, swims up into your, well, it doesn't really swim, it's not like sperm, but it floats up into your fallopian tube, and it sits there waiting for a sperm to come along to fertilize it. So when this egg gets released by the ovary, sits there in the fallopian tube, it lives for 24 hours. And then once it dies, you don't have another egg that can be fertilized until your next cycle, until your next ovulation. So you have this egg that's sitting there, it's waiting there alive for 24 hours. Hopefully, you know, it wants a sperm to come along and fertilize it. But if the sperm doesn't fertilize it, it dies. So right there, technically that 24-hour window is the only time in your entire cycle that you can get pregnant, because it's the only time that an egg is there alive to be fertilized. However, sperm can live in the body for up to 6 days. And so you have to consider the 5 to 6 days before ovulation as like chance for getting pregnant as well. Because let's say you had sex on day 13, and then you ovulate on day 16, but the sperm's still there, you know, still alive. It can go and then fertilize that egg that just got released. But essentially, so you have ovulation, which is that egg getting released, and then it dies. And that's why I hate when people talk about ovulation as a phase, because it really is this like single event that occurs. It's like your egg gets released, it sits there, and then it dies. So once the egg dies, it releases what's called the corpus luteum, so not to get super complicated, but essentially the sac. And that is what begins the release of progesterone, which signifies our luteal phase. So the luteal phase begins after the egg has died. So after ovulation has occurred, we enter our luteal phase, which is 12 to 14 days long, and it's essentially characterized by the rise in progesterone. So progesterone is the dominant hormone in our luteal phase. And side note, if you are on hormonal birth control, you don't ovulate, which means you never produce progesterone. Progesterone is an extremely important hormone in the female body. It is vital for our health, and we don't produce any progesterone when we're not ovulating. You have to ovulate to then produce progesterone. So anyways, we're in our luteal phase, we're producing progesterone, and then once our body runs out of progesterone, once this corpus luteum runs out of progesterone, progesterone tanks, and that is the trigger for your period to begin. It's the trigger for the uterine wall to start shedding. Because essentially what your luteal phase actually is the time that your body uses to implant the egg that potentially got fertilized. So like, let's say the sperm went up and fertilized that egg. It takes about 10 to 14 days for that egg to now fully implant into the uterine wall, which is, you know, that cushiony thing that our body is creating with all the blood for the potential baby that might come along. But then once that 12 to 14 days is up, our progesterone runs out, our body's like, okay, there's no baby here. We're going to shut that wall, and then the whole thing starts all over again. Does that make sense?
Hopefully. You're even mind-blowing me right now. Yeah, that's crazy. And I feel like most women have no idea. Like, I had no idea that the only time you could get pregnant was 6 days out of the month. You know what I mean? Like, obviously in college, I had no idea because I got pregnant. Like, I could have been tracking. You know what I mean? Love my kid, though. I don't regret him, obviously. But it's just crazy that nobody knows any of this stuff. And it's like, I think back to health class. I think back to, like, I think in fifth grade or fourth grade, we had like the period talk with like the teacher. I think all that I learned was like that there's pads and there's tampons, and they weren't even showing us organic ones. Like those were the shitty ones. Like, it's just crazy how nobody knows anything unless you take it upon yourself to truly learn.
If someone has no idea anything about their cycle and they just heard everything I just said, they're like, oh my God, that's so complicated. But it genuinely, once you learn it, it is so simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not supposed to be rocket science. And that's like the one side note, the one like stick that I have with the whole like cycle syncing space, is people try to make your like the female cycle rocket science, where it's like, in this phase, you're only supposed to do this thing and eat this food. And then in this phase, you do this thing and eat that food. And it's like, okay, it doesn't have to be that complicated.
Yeah.
Our cycle is not complicated. It is this beautiful process that happens every single month that can be really easy to understand if we take the time to learn it. Pregnancy prevention, you know, natural birth control can be super easy if we take time to learn it. And it's such an empowering tool.
It really is to learn. Like, so I was someone who got pregnant in college, and then I didn't go on any form of birth control. We were just like smart about my cycles. And like, I had my kids 6 years ago, and I've managed to not get pregnant since. Like, you really can take control of your fertility. It's not like some rocket science. Oh, I could never do that. Like, if you can be responsible and just like look at your apps, look at your signs of that your body is telling you, like your body, you know when you are ovulating, you know when you're fertile, if you can truly understand your body. You know what I mean? It's just people act like, oh, birth control, or you're getting pregnant. It's like, no, just like empower yourself to learn and you won't get pregnant.
Absolutely. And for those that don't know, the like method that you use as natural birth control is called the fertility awareness method. And that was like when I was making the decision to go off birth control, like my biggest fear was, oh my gosh, I'm going to get pregnant. Like I was terrified of that. And I had a friend who gave me the book Taking Charge of Your Fertility by Toni Weschler. And this book is essentially like the Bible of the fertility awareness method. Like it teaches you every in and out of it. If you read that book, you will be so confident in natural pregnancy prevention. It's like insane how fascinating it is and how simple it can be when you like take the time to really understand it. But for those that like want to like, how do I prevent pregnancy? Like, what do I actually do? It's called the fertility awareness method. And you just have to make sure you fully understand it before you decide to use it.
I don't want anybody to feel bad listening. Like if you're a woman, you're like, I had no idea. Like none of us really have any idea. I was 25 when I went off birth control. That's when I learned about ovulation and like not being able to get pregnant certain days of the month. Like no one teaches us these things. So like, don't feel bad. Now's the time to just sort of learn more and kind of take control of yourself. I did. I avoided pregnancy for 5 years until we were ready to try for a baby, but it's like, can be super intimidating. Like you're listening to this and thinking, oh my gosh, like how have I lived my whole life not knowing? But like no time like the present to start learning.
To start learning and to like teach your kids one day. Yeah. Like I feel like this is the generation that is finally going to normalize true cycle education. Like our daughters are going to know how their cycle works, which is insane.
For sure. Absolutely. So when you kind of said like you don't have to make it complicated, you don't have to be eating a certain way, whatever. Can you tell us like what a typical day of eating is for you? And I assume you don't do any like I know people do like seed cycling and all of those things. Like what do you do and what's your opinions?
Yeah. So, well, first say I strayed away from the carnivore diet a long time ago. It was a phenomenal tool to help me heal. I don't think it's a great tool long term for women, but it can be like it is a great form of medicine for when you need it. Now my diet is much more, I mean, it's very well-rounded. I think people think like the crunchy like way of eating is very restrictive, but it honestly is the most non-restrictive way. Because like I eat all of my favorite foods. Like I indulge in so many things and I feel great. So the way that I guess it's so hard to say typical day of eating because I really every week looks so different for me. It's not because I'm like following like rules for my cycle. It's just because like I really have become in tune with my intuition and my body's cravings. And I've, it's taken a really long time to step away from eating based on what the quote unquote science and people on the internet tell you to eat and more eating based off of like, okay, I understand all these principles. And what is my body craving right now? And like, what would serve my body well? And so I eat very much in that way. It's like, yes, I'm following the principles. Yes, I'm going to make sure like I have protein with my meals, but also I eat what like intuitively feels right in the moment. And that also, I know it sounds so frustrating for people when they're like, how the hell do you even do that? Like, what does that mean? And I used to think that too. And I think the more connected you get to this, like the signals and the communications your body is giving with you, you understand it. Because like even back when, you know, I was struggling so much with my gut issues, I literally could not connect in my brain. I eat this food and then half an hour later, I feel horrible and bloated and disgusting. There was no connect in my mind of like, oh, maybe the food caused that. I didn't understand that, which is crazy to think now. But when you start to get connected to like, okay, I eat a food and then like, how do I feel after I eat that food? You just start to become much more in tune to your body. So anyways, day of eating, I'll just go with how I've eaten like the last few days. Breakfast for me, sometimes I'll fast in the morning, sometimes I won't. And fast just means like a few hours after I eat in the morning when I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I wake up and I'm like ravenous. And sometimes I wake up and I'm not hungry at all. And like I take that as my body's intelligence to communicate with me whether it's hungry or not. So in the morning, I have my current like breakfast obsession is I've been getting the Force of Nature bison sausages. And I'll cut it up into little pieces and I'll like make it kind of crispy in a pan, and then I'll crack like two or three eggs and scramble the eggs with that. And then I always grate like raw Parmesan cheese over my eggs. It is so good. And I'll have that with like a side of fruit. I'm really, really, really big on only eating what's in season. And so I'll grab like whatever fruit is seasonal right now. So right now I'm obsessed with pomegranates and persimmons. Is that how you say it? I never eat one literally until 2 weeks ago. They're great. So I'll do the eggs and a little bit of fruit in the morning. And sometimes I'll do like half a sweet potato with my breakfast. I personally don't really eat grains. I'll eat sourdough here and there, but that's like one of the few things that I never really added back into my diet in the last few years because I can actively feel that my gut doesn't like it. So like every once in a while I'll have sourdough and when I make baked goods, I'll use like einkorn flour, but I'm not really eating like breads and things like that every single day. So I'll have like maybe half a sweet potato with breakfast. And then I always have my raw milk latte. I do some like raw milk and a decaf espresso shot. And I'll throw an egg yolk in there. I'll throw some gelatin powder and a little bit of maple syrup. My coffee's like the most exciting part of my whole day. And then that's pretty much my breakfast. For lunch, today for lunch, I had a ancestral blend, like the Force Nature ancestral blend, just like beef all scrambled up with some avocado and some cheese on top. And I was doing like a, what do you call it? Like a nacho bowl. So I was using like some cassava chips. And then my meals are so boring, honestly.
The pretty the
will be the same thing. It'll be like a steak or beef with like a small salad or some ground beef or... Yeah, I don't know. I eat what my body wants, and I've trained my body to want really nourishing foods.
I know. I hear that a lot. People are like, well, my body's craving cookies like all the time. Like, I just only want to eat cookies. And I'm like, well, your body's telling you something. When, you know, you need to listen and figure out what it really is lacking. And that's what it's asking for.
I used to have the most insatiable sweet tooth like ever. It was almost like it controlled me. Like if there were cookies in front of me, I could not eat them. I was addicted to sugar and I just had like such intense cravings. And truly when you heal, because you know, the cravings, people think that the craving is like your brain, but it's actually your gut. Like the bacteria in your gut, the bad bacteria in your gut, which feeds off of sugar and all of these horrible things. Not that sugar's horrible, but processed sugars and things like that will then signal to, because if you're starving out that bad bacteria, you know, you're not giving it all its processed sugars that it wants. The bacteria wants to live. And so it's going to signal to your brain, hey, we need some processed sugar and things like that to keep us alive. And then your brain communicates that to you as a craving. You think it's a craving, but really it's bacteria in your gut that's dictating what you're eating. And so when you heal your gut, these cravings go away. It's really insane.
So you talk about ancestral nutrition. Can you like explain to people what you mean by that?
Totally. It's really just like how were humans designed to eat? You know, were we designed to eat synthetic food? Created a lot. That's when it's like when people have the argument over like the perfect one is red meat versus like plant-based meat, like, oh my gosh, which one is healthier? I, with every single food I eat, go back to what were humans designed to eat? What have we been eating for thousands of years and thriving? And it certainly was not plant-based meat created in the lab. Not that there's anything wrong with plant-based foods themselves. There's nothing wrong with beans or legumes or things like that. But these like synthetic foods that we're creating to try to replace real food is terrifying. And so that's just like, that is my gold question. Whenever I'm like, should I eat this food or should I not eat this food? It's like, what was our ancestors eating? What were our great, great grandparents eating before like food processing and all these things existed? And then also, like, what were my specific ancestors eating? Because I think a lot of people don't realize that your gut health is determined by the gut health of your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, everyone behind you. And so if you, for example, like, I drink raw dairy like it's water. I drink so much raw milk because my gut tolerates milk really, really, really well. My best friend, who is Swedish, comes from a very, very, very long line of family members that could not tolerate dairy. And so she doesn't drink raw milk. And like, that's fine. Her body doesn't tolerate it. And so it's like, okay, what were humans in general eating thousands of years ago? But then also like, what were my ancestors eating thousands of years ago? And that really helps to dictate like, okay, what should I be eating? What shouldn't I? And also like, how does our body just respond to these foods? Like you'll notice, you know, people tell you you're not supposed to eat red meat and all these things. then why do I feel so good when I eat a steak? Why do I feel absolutely amazing when I'm eating these foods and I feel like crap when I eat an Impossible Burger? Like, our bodies are intelligent.
It's so crazy because I think so many people struggle with food noise, and like, that's totally valid. But I also think that we are so undernourished, and we are so used to people telling us like, eat red meat one time a week, eat just chicken and low fat, and, you know, avoid butter. And people would be shocked when they realize how much lower the food noise gets when they truly nourish themselves. And like, I am someone who, I was doing a cut recently and I was like, wow, this is what food noise is probably is, because I was like, I'm thinking about food constantly and that's never been a problem for me. So I told the guy I'm working with, I was like, hey, I got to get out of the cut. Like, I'm not meant to be measuring out how much steak I can eat or how much butter I can use. When I did that, I started eating 2 ribeyes a day. I was eating 2 sweet potatoes. I was eating almost a stick of butter a day. I was eating frozen mango, cherries. In one week, I lost 3 pounds, and I wasn't losing weight on my cut. Like, I was in like a plateau and I was like, dude, what is going on? Like, I'm only eating 1800 calories a day. Like, I am in a deficit. I know I am, but it was like my body screaming at me like, dude, just eat real food. And when I started to eat the real food, I no longer wanted to snack constantly. I was no longer constantly thinking about what my next meal was. It's just crazy that we are told, you know, eat low calorie to lose weight, eat minimum red meat, eat minimum butter. But it's like, dude, that literally changed my life. Like, I no longer struggle with that, like, constant, I'm starving, what can I eat, low mood because I'm hangry. Like, it's just wild how backwards we kind of have it.
Yeah, I think the biggest disconnect for people, and like the thing that was a game changer for me, is like counting calories versus counting micronutrients. Like, why do we eat? We eat to literally nourish and fuel the existence of our body. And so the thought of like, oh my gosh, how can I eat as little as possible, take out all the fat, take out all the carbs, like, let me make this food as like little and nothing as possible so that I can exist, like, that doesn't make any sense. And when we stop being terrified of calories and start just like asking ourselves, okay, is this food that I'm eating filled with minerals and vitamins and good things that are going to help my body thrive? Or is it empty of those things? And use that as our measure of like which foods we should be eating. Suddenly you're eating, you know, these ancestral foods, you're eating these foods that people are terrified of, but you feel great and your body is energized and shocker, you lose weight. And it's like, it just makes so much sense.
For sure. So your parents are like, to me, kind of the OG crunchy parents, because you were only vaccinated as like a baby and then they stopped. So Kyla is living proof that if you don't vaccinate your kids, you're not going to die of polio. It's okay to have the chicken pox. But that is so fascinating to me because I feel like our generation, like, I have a couple friends who are not vaccinated and like their parents just knew to not, but like the norm was just to get whatever the doctors were giving. So can you kind of explain like why your parents did that?
Yeah. So I don't know if actually my parents would even have vaccinated me at all. I was born in South Africa. All of my family's in South Africa. And when you immigrate to America, you are required to get a crap ton of vaccines. And so when we immigrated to America, I was 9 months old, and literally in one day, I think they gave me 20 vaccines. It was absolutely insane. And I still to this day wonder how much that impacted me. But after that, my parents were like, no, we're not doing any vaccines. I think there were a couple reasons for it. In South Africa, they give less vaccines in general. So I think that plays a role into it. But also, I have Tourette's. And, you know, vaccines impact your nervous system. Tourette's is a nervous system disorder. And I think my parents were really, really worried how vaccinating me would impact my Tourette's. And I think that was the biggest deciding factor for them. I'm actually so curious because my brother, I wonder how many vaccines he received or if he also never received any. I have no idea.
That's so wild.
Did they know you had Tourette's before you were vaccinated, or did the Tourette's start to show up after you were vaccinated?
Well, it's genetic, and my dad had Tourette's, and so I have a gene for it. So I think they knew that I had it, but it only, you know, started showing up when I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. So yeah, I don't know if the vaccines that I got, because it was really, really bad when I was a child, which also, side note, just to go down this tangent and then talk about vaccines again, but when I was a child, my Tourette's were really, really bad. And, you know, they took me to doctors trying to figure out what to do because it was getting to the point where I couldn't really go to school. And they wanted to give us all these medications, things like that. They were putting me on crazy meds. They were not working. And my dad really is the OG crunchy. Like, he's been setting his circadian rhythm and like doing all this crap and grounding before it was even a thing. And he decided when I was probably like 6 or 7 years old that they were going to scrap all the medications and they were going to fix my Tourette's through diet. Because again, my dad had Tourette's as well, and he had always suffered a lot through adulthood with it. And so he removes all the processed foods from my diet. He limited sugar a lot. He, you know, filled my diet with a lot of fruits and vegetables and meats and things like that. And to this day, like, if you meet me in person, you have no idea that I have Tourette's. When I tell people, they're shocked. They're like, what are you talking about? But what you don't know is that if I were to have 1 week of eating processed foods and drinking a lot of caffeine and all of those things, it would be so, so noticeable. And that's just like such a testament to like the way that our food impacts our literal nervous system. Like, to have this, what can be a really debilitating disorder, and to make it almost non-existent just based off the foods I'm eating is absolutely insane.
Dude, I didn't know that you still had it. I assumed that like you, I've done podcasts with you. I like have actively followed you. Like, I had no idea you still had it. So that's crazy that like it's so managed through your diet and lifestyle, because you do see other people who like have Tourette's and they just like are on medications and nothing's helping. But like, that makes me feel so sad for them that they don't know that like, hey, maybe you could lessen your symptoms if your doctor knew to talk to you about your diet.
It is so sad. And that's for, you know, all of the nervous system disorders out there. Like, there are so many things, even like mental health disorders, OCD and depression, all these things that we all know get so impacted by the foods we eat. Like, it's the same for this. And it's the same for pretty much every other disorder and anything out there. Like, the way you take care of your body impacts how much that is going to show up in your life. And yeah, I'm walking proof of that.
I came across a doctor today. I can't remember his name, but he had a ton of followers. And he just made this huge post about how food is not medicine and how medicine is medicine. And I'm like, how can you say that with a straight face? Like, even having people in your comments saying, like, I've healed myself from these terrible diseases. He's like, well, cancer, like, food's not going to heal your cancer. I'm like, okay.
Ugh. I literally had someone on my podcast last month who completely reversed her cancer through diet. Like, they were going to put her on chemotherapy, radiation, like, the whole nine. And she reversed it in, like, 3 months through her diet. But yeah, I can't even count on one hand the times the medical system has failed me.
Yeah.
And then I have had to resort to diet and all these different things to heal myself. It's not like I was lunging for those things first, but when the medical system can't solve your problems, like, what are we supposed to do? Just sit around and suffer for the rest of our lives? Like, I would be, if I had followed everything the medical system had told me to do, I would have horrible Tourette's. I would have debilitating gut issues still. I would still be on hormonal birth control and have no period and probably be infertile. Like, they don't have a very good track record.
I literally say this every time Jordan and I do a podcast. Nobody wakes up in the morning and is just like, yeah, I'm going to go against the medical system and everything that I've taught. It's like, no, this was our last resort to grasp for any chance to live a normal life because our symptoms were so debilitating. And people think we're crazy, but it's like, no, we're not. We're just people who advocated for ourselves because we had no other choice. Like, we would probably still be living the Western way if we hadn't been impacted. And you know, some people's just nervous systems and some people's bodies just can't handle living the Western way like other people's can.
Yeah. It's like Paul Saladino always says, he's like, if you're thriving, don't change anything. But if you're not thriving, something obviously needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy how much people demonize us.
Okay. But what about your boyfriend? Does he live a similar lifestyle? Did you convert him? Like, what does that look like?
So he's actually also unvaccinated. Which I only found out.
Oh my God, recently. Your kids. Your kids. I'm so jealous of your kids. Oh my God.
I think he was vaccinated up until like maybe 5 or 6 and then hasn't received anything after that. But yeah, he's always been very health conscious. You know, when we met, I was still on hormonal birth control. Like I had just started this journey. And so we really went on it together. We were both very like gym bro, like eat clean, like lean chicken and all those things. And when I went off hormonal birth control, he was obviously nervous about it, but very supportive. And then that was this cascade of me like, oh my gosh, learning about this and learning about this. And holy crap, did you know about that? You know, you just go down the rabbit hole and you start getting exposed to all these things that you've never thought of before. And I would just like, it was all shocking to me. So I would share with him. I'm like, oh my gosh, I learned this today. This is insane. Like, did you know this? And did you know this? And did you know this? And he is a very open-minded person. And so he was very interested to hear about everything I had to say. Did he make changes like immediately like I did? Definitely not. He, for probably a year and a half, I would wear my red light glasses in the airport and he would walk on the other side of the walkway and pretend he didn't know me. Like, he was much slower to evolve, but like, I cook all our meals, for example. So like when I would put like some beef liver in our food, like he wouldn't mind. And he started to notice when he would do these things, he would feel really good. When I, you know, would put the red light screen on his iPhone, like he felt different. When he finally started wearing the glasses, he felt different. When he ate this and this food, like he felt great. And so I think that was like the journey for him, is like listening to what I have to say and being open-minded about it. And then like just kind of slowly making changes as felt good to him. He's definitely not as crunchy as I am, but he's definitely on the crunchier side.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, we love a crunchy man.
Sure do.
Where would you tell someone to start if they want to get off birth control? Like they're still on it. They want to go to the doctor and be like, hey, I'm getting off birth control. Not even that you have to go to your doctor and tell them that. But
yeah, if you're on the pill, I would not go, like, because you can just stop taking the pill. Obviously, for the Nexplanon, for example, or an IUD, like, you have to get it removed. But it's crazy the stories I hear of how much gynecologists are gaslighting women and making them feel like absolute crap when they decide to go off birth control. What I always tell women and what I did is I walked into my gynecologist's office and I'm like, hey, I just got married. I'm about to start trying for a baby, so I need to go off birth control. Like, what are they going to say? So if you're worried about the confrontation, that is like the immediate line. It's like, hey, I want to start getting pregnant. Cool. Take this birth control out. But the thing that I tell women about going off birth control is like, you can't expect that to be like the magic fix and then suddenly you're healthy. It's not like you're going to stop taking the pill, get your IUD removed, and like feel phenomenal. Because your body has technically undergone trauma for the last however many years that you've been on birth control. If you've been on birth control for 5 years, for the last 5 years, your natural hormone cycle has been suppressed. You've not been producing the hormones that you're supposed to be producing. You're not going through your literal cycle every single month. And that has a huge impact on your body. And so when you go off birth control, that is the first step to healing. But now you have to actually heal yourself. You've removed the thing that is damaging you, but now you have to start healing. So you need to, you know, the biggest thing, birth control severely depletes the mineral stores in our body. And so the first thing we need to be doing is like flooding our body with minerals again, like mineral rich foods and like lots of, you know, red meat and bone broths and raw dairy and all these different things. Like you need to give your body the things that it is now depleted in and lacking. And now you have to support your body in a way that it can heal itself and thrive. I tell women that, you know, your body was designed to thrive. Your body was designed to have pain-free regular cycles. Your body was designed to get pregnant and birth babies. Your body was designed to do all these things, and it knows how to do it, and it will do those things as long as you support it in doing so. You don't need to do all these crazy things to, you know, make your cycle come back. You just need to give your body the tools it needs to thrive. If you're sleep deprived and eating crappy processed foods and working yourself into the ground and like all of these things that are not conducive of a healthy body, your body's now like in a state of trauma and you're traumatizing it even further. Like, of course you're not going to heal. And so like women always ask me like, how soon is my period going to come back after I go off hormonal birth control? And it's as soon as your body feels ready, as soon as you heal it. Like, your body will heal as fast as you are supporting it. And so you have to, you know, take those extra steps afterwards of like doing all the things to allow it to heal.
Will you tell everybody where they can find you and can they reach out to you? Can you help them with their cycle? Like, what can you offer people?
Yeah, totally. I am on Instagram at Cycle with Kyla. Kyla is K-Y-L-A-H. I have a podcast. It's called The Intentional Health Podcast. Of course, you can reach out to me on Instagram. I have a free 45-minute class, which basically teaches you everything you never got taught about your cycle in high school. So it's like exactly like walking you through how your cycle works and what ovulation it is and just like all the basics. So you can download that in my bio. I also host women's retreats, which is called, they're called Cycle Camp. And it's like a whole week where you come and learn about your cycle and get integrated into a cycle-supportive lifestyle. And it's all kinds of fun. Yeah, this is the place you can find me.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I know so many women are going to just be mind blown by this episode, especially if we were part of the public education system. So thank you so much for coming on, and everybody listen for the next episode.
Thanks for having me.
Bye, guys.
Bye. That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes in, on, and around their family. We'll be back next week with another conversation. But until then, trust your instincts, question everything, and stay unbothered.